By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله Viewers of Madhi Channel, welcome to Rise and Shine. And you're all up and fresh this morning. Inshallah, we've got a very interesting program for you today as well. But before we begin and we go to the actual topic of the day, we're going to go to our daily tilawat. Alhamdulillah, those of you that watch Rise and Shine every day get the opportunity to listen to the Quran and listen to the translation of the Quran. So please stay tuned and let's go and listen to the daily recitation of the Quran. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
وسخر لكم الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر والنجوم مسخرات بأمره إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يعقلون
اور اس نے تمہارے لیے مسخر یعنی تابع کیے رات اور دن اور سورج اور چاند اور ستارے اس کے حکم کے باندھے ہیں بے شک اس میں نشانیاں ہیں عقل مندوں کو
وَمَا ذَرَأَ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُخْتَلِفًا أَلْوَانُهُ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمٍ يَذَّكَّرُونَ
اور وہ جو تمہارے لیے زمین میں پیدا کیا رنگ برنگ بے شک اس میں نشانی ہے یاد کرنے والوں کو
وَهُوَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ الْبَحْرَ لِتَأْكُلُوا مِنْهُ لَحْمًا طَرِيًّا وَتَسْتَخْرِجُوا مِنْهُ حِلْيَةً تَلْبَسُونَهَا وَتَرَى الْفُلْكَ مَوَاخِرَ فِيهِ وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ
اور وہی ہے جس نے تمہارے لیے دریا مسخر کیا کہ اس میں سے تازہ گوشت کھاتے ہو اور اس میں سے گہنا یعنی زیور نکالتے ہو جسے پہنتے ہو اور تو اس میں کشتیاں دیکھے کہ پانی چیر کر چلتی ہیں اور اس لیے کہ تم اس کا فضل تلاش کرو اور کہیں احسان مانو
وَأَلْقَا فِي الْأَرْضِ رَوَاسِيَ أَن تَمِيدَ بِكُمْ وَأَنْهَارًا وَسُبُلًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ
اور اس نے زمین میں لنگر ڈالے کہ کہیں تمہیں لے کر نہ کانپے اور ندیاں اور رستے کہ تم راہ پاؤ
وَعَلَامَاتٍ وَبِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ
اور علامتیں اور ستارے سے وہ راہ پاتے ہیں
أَفَمَن يَخْلُقُ كَمَن لَا يَخْلُقُ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ
تو کیا جو بنائے وہ ایسا ہو جائے گا جو نہ بنائے تو کیا تم نصیحت نہیں مانتے
وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا اِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ
اور اگر اللہ کی نعمتیں گنو تو انہیں شمار نہ کر سکو گے بے شک اللہ بخشنے والا مہربان ہے
وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تُسِرُّونَ وَمَا تُعْلِنُونَ
اور اللہ جانتا ہے جو چھپاتے اور ظاہر کرتے ہو
وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ
اور اللہ کے سوا جن کو پوچھتے ہیں وہ کچھ بھی نہیں بناتے اور وہ خود بنائے ہوئے ہیں
اموات غیر احیاء وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ أَيَّانَ يُبْعَثُونَ
مردے ہیں زندہ نہیں اور انہیں خبر نہیں لوگ کب اٹھائے جائیں گے.
إِلَٰهُكُمْ إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَالَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مُنْكِرَةٌ وَهُمْ مُسْتَكْبِرُونَ.
تمہارا معبود ایک معبود ہے تو وہ جو آخرت پر ایمان نہیں لاتے ان کے دل منکر ہیں اور وہ مغرور.
لا جرم ان اللہ يعلم ما يسرون وما يعلنون انہ لا يحب المستكبرين.
فی الحقیقت اللہ جانتا ہے جو چھپاتے اور جو ظاہر کرتے ہیں، بے شک وہ مغروروں کو پسند نہیں فرماتا.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. As we said earlier on, the best day, and what a way to start the best day of the week by listening to the Quran. And I think it's something, we've said it many, many times before, it's something that we need to make a habit of. I need to make improve myself. We all need to improve ourselves. We need to attach ourselves to the Quran, listen to the Quran on a daily basis. Amir al-Sunnah, he advises us to listen to at least three ayats of the Quran on a daily basis with translation and commentary. And inshallah, if we make this habit in our households, if we can watch it on Madani channel, marhaba. If not, sit amongst the family for how long did it take? 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes? Sit with the family, three ayats of the Quran, translation and commentary. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, it'll make a change in our house. What is the topic today? Well, it's a very, very important topic. As human beings, we try and protect ourselves. We protect our bodies, we protect our wealth, we look after our health, we protect all of our financial goods that we have, you know, our money, our houses, our cars, we protect all those things. But there's one thing that if we lose it, if we have lost that one thing, then all of those other things that I mentioned are all on one side, and this one thing is the most important thing in our life. And that's our iman, that's our faith. Now, if we do not protect our iman, if we do not look after our iman, and do not live according to that, then when the angel of death comes, then there is a grave chance that at that moment, at that moment in time, you can lose your iman. And today we're going to talk about causes of a bad end. And you may be thought, well, what is a bad end? What can be a bad end? The bad end is when we die without our iman. And today we're going to talk about those actions that if we are pertaining, if we are doing them things, then we are running a risk of maybe dying without our iman. Now, it's okay to die poor. It's okay to die weak. It's okay to die without a house, without a car. It's okay to die without all of them things. But to die without your iman. As a Muslim, the most precious thing that we have is our iman. And so we need to know, we need to be aware of those things that can cause us to lose our iman. And we need to perform those actions to protect our iman. So inshallah, that's the topic that we're going to have today, and hopefully we'll try and cover as much as possible. But again, it's such a vast topic, whole series can be done on this. But today we'll try and cover it very, very briefly. But before we actually get into the topic, we've got the Kalam of the day. Let's go and listen to the Kalam of the day, inshallah. And when we come back, we'll start talking about this topic in detail. Let's go to the Kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mera salam kehna, mera salam. محبوبِ کبریا سے میرا سلام کہنا سلطانِ انبیاء سے میرا سلام کہنا محبوبِ کبریا سے میرا سلام کہنا سلطانِ انبیاء سے میں تیرا سلام کہنا،
تجھ پر خدا کی رحمت اے عظیم مدینہ، نور محمدی سے روشن ہو تیرا سینہ، جب ساحل عرب پر پہنچے تیرا سفینہ، اس وقت سر جھکا کر للہ با کرینہ، اس وقت سر جھکا کر للہ با کرینہ، اس ذات مصطفیٰ سے میرا سلام کہنا،
میرا سلام کہنا، میرا سلام کہنا، میرا سلام کہنا،
میرا سلام کہنا،
محبوب کبریا سے میرا سلام کہنا، سلطان انبیاء سے میرا سلام کہنا،
دربار مصطفیٰ کی حاصل ہو جب حضوری، پیش نظر ہو جس دم وہ بارگاہ نوری،
ہو دور رنج و کلفت مٹ جائے فکر دوری، دیدار مصطفیٰ کی جب آرزو ہو پوری، دیدار مصطفیٰ کی جب آرزو ہو پوری،
والشمس کی ضیا سے میرا سلام کہنا،
میرا سلام کہنا، میرا سلام کہنا، میرا سلام کہنا،
میرا سلام کہنا،
محبوب کبریا سے میرا سلام کہنا، سلطان انبیاء سے میرا سلام کہنا،
راہ طلب کی لذت جب قلب کو مزا دے، عشق نبی مرسل جب روح کو جلا دے،
جب سوز عاشقانہ جذبات کو جگا دے، ہستی کا ذرہ ذرہ جب آہ کی صدا دے، ہستی کا ذرہ ذرہ جب آہ کی صدا دے،
عالم کے دل ربا سے میرا سلام کہنا،
میرا سلام کہنا، میرا سلام کہنا، میرا سلام کہنا،
میرا سلام کہنا،
محبوب کبریا سے میرا سلام کہنا، سلطان انبیاء سے میرا سلام کہنا،
ساحل پہ آتے آتے موجوں کو چوم لینا، موجوں کے بعد دلکش ذروں کو چوم لینا،
اس پاک سرزمین کی راہوں کو چوم لینا، پھولوں کو چوم لینا، کو چوم لینا، پھولوں کو چوم لینا، کانٹوں کو چوم لینا، پھر نور ودوحا سے میرا سلام کہنا،
میرا سلام کہنا،
میرا سلام کہنا، میرا سلام کہنا،
میرا سلام کہنا،
محبوب کبریا سے میرا سلام کہنا، سلطان انبیاء سے میرا سلام کہنا،
روزے کی جالیوں کے جس دم قریب جانا، رو رو کے حال مسلم سرکار کو سنانا،
بے ساختہ مچلنا، جوش
سانا، پھر نور حق نما سے میرا سلام کہنا،
میرا سلام کہنا،
میرا سلام کہنا، میرا سلام کہنا،
میرا سلام کہنا،
محبوب کبریا سے میرا سلام کہنا، سلطان انبیاء سے میرا سلام کہنا، محبوب کبریا سے میرا سلام کہنا، سلطان انبیاء سے میرا سلام کہنا،
کہنا۔ صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ بیوٹیفل کلام، اینڈ دی کلام از سچ دیٹ ریمائنڈز یو آف دیٹ ٹائم ویئر یو ور فارچونیٹ اینف ٹو ڈو دیٹ۔ دی امیزنگ تھنگ اباؤٹ دی بیوٹیفل سٹیز آف مکہ اینڈ مدینہ دیٹ you know, when you've been somewhere, you've been to places around the world, you've been to all these famous cities, you've been to all these famous places, once you've seen them, you know, you tick them off and say, I've seen that place now, I don't need to go there again, I don't need to see that country again, I don't need to see that city again, because I've seen it. But the beautiful city of Makkah, the beautiful city of Medina, no matter how many times you've seen it, that thirst is still there, that you want to go there again. I pray for you all, Allah bless you all with an opportunity to be amongst those fortunate people that can go into the city of Makkah, walk into the masjid, keep your head lowered, keep your gaze lowered until you get close and you feel that you're getting close to the blessed Kaaba, you're seeing the people going around, and then raise your head up and look at the Kaaba. There is nothing that, you know, I cannot explain it. I don't have words. I'm not eloquent enough to explain to you that feeling that you will have when you have that. So I pray that all of you are blessed with the opportunity. And I ask you to pray that I can go and visit the blessed city of Makkah and the blessed city of Medina. Today we're talking about causes of a bad end. And because we're talking about causes of bad end, there are certain, and I'll use the word, certain illnesses that if they affect us, and when I say illnesses, certain actions that are affecting the soul, they're causing the illness of the soul, that if we catch them diseases, so to speak, then we run the risk of losing our iman. And today we're going to talk about those things that can cause us to lose our iman. Now, there's a book called Sharh Sudur, and in this book called Sharh Sudur, it mentions four cases of four potential acts that can cause you to lose your iman. And I think it's very important for our viewers that we become aware of those things. You know, if for example, you go to a dietitian. Now, a dietitian, he will say to you that, look, you know, stay away from fatty foods, stay away from sugary foods, stay away from these foods, because if you do this, then you run the risk of having cholesterol, you run the risk of having sugar, you run the risk of having these sort of things. And so what you do is as human beings, we may eat a little bit of greasy food, but we'll not eat a lot. Why? Because we know it's bad for us. We'll stay away from sugary foods. Why? Because we know it's bad for us. So in the same way, we need to be aware of those things, that if we take part in them actions, we run the risk of losing our iman. And like I said, in Shurah Sudur, it mentions four causes. I'm going to quickly mention them. Number one, laziness in your salah. How serious is that? It doesn't mention not missing your salah, yeah? Which is even worse, obviously. Being lazy in your salah. If we were to discuss the intricacies of Sharia with regards to inheritance, and we were to say that this person would get half share, this person would get an eighth share, this person would get a quarter share, then there'd be many, many Muslims, myself included, and many of our viewers that are watching now, that would not know the intricacies of Sharia. They would not know the farz, the wajibat, the sunnat of namaz, of ghusl, of wuzu. They would not know these things. Every Muslim, from a short, young age, he is aware that namaz is farz upon them. Whether he reads it or not is a different point. But the fact of the matter is, he knows that namaz is farz upon him. So the question is, why are we missing our namaz? Why are we lazy in our namaz? Because this one action of being lazy, not missing your namaz is even worse. Being lazy in your namaz can cause you to lose your iman. And what we need to first and foremost understand is the iman is the greatest gift that we have got. Because if you leave this dunya with iman, you are the successful one. And we've heard pious predecessors, they said that if you want to think that I am successful, I will be successful the day I leave this dunya with my iman. That is your measure of success. So it's basically, say to yourself that you've got an examination on the last day that you have. If you pass that exam, you're successful. If you fail that exam, then everything else you've done in your life, you're a failure. You may have been the best student, but you failed the exam. You need to make sure. And one of these things is being lazy in our salah. And when it's talking about being lazy in our salah, we're talking about those actions whereby you're rushing your salah, those actions where you're delaying your salah, those actions where you're trying to, you know, your mind is elsewhere when you're performing your salah. We're not concentrating on our salah. And all of these things run the risk of losing our iman. So I think first and foremost, viewers of the channel, we need to be aware where we are. How can I say to a Muslim that we're not aware that namaz is farz upon them? We all know this. But what we need to be aware is that the implications, because we think, okay, if we don't read animals, then okay, yeah, we've committed the sin, but yeah, so what's going to happen? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and he gave the example of the Asr Salah. He said that if a person misses the Asr Salah intentionally, then it is as if he has lost all of his family and all of his wealth. Everything that he's got, he's lost it if he misses that. Now, if I was to say to you, or if a person had lost one of his businesses, he's got 10 businesses, he loses one of his business, how upset would he be? If his profit margin went down, how upset would he be? And we've not even got to the extent where we're talking about family members now. If you lose any of your family members, how upset are you? You can be traumatized when you lose a family member. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, if you lose that salah, is as if you've lost your family, you've lost your wealth. Are we bothered? Does it affect us when we miss our salah? Are we concerned? Do we get upset when we miss our salah? Or we just think, yeah, well, more to the list. You know, someone gave an example once. I want to share it with you. He said that, you know, when you buy a brand new car, just out the showroom, 0 meter car, yeah? It's not got a mark on it. The car comes home, you show it to the family, you come out in the morning, and you see a little mark there, a little mark on your car, and you get... And you start cleaning it, yeah? You clean that little mark on the car. And you'll walk around the car, and any dust on it, any mark on it, you'll clean it. But then what happens is over time, you'll get a scratch. And you'll be upset that you've got that scratch, but you think, oh, well, it's going to happen, isn't it? Yeah? And then another scratch happens, then another scratch happens, then a dent happens, then your wings crumpled, then your light smashed. And what happens is you get to a point where that brand new 0 meter car that didn't have a mark on it has now got scratches everywhere, it's got dents everywhere, and it's almost a broken car. But you're still driving it. Our hearts initially are like that brand new car. And what happens is whenever you commit a sin, a black dot gets on that heart. And what happens is over a period of time, these black dots get bigger and bigger and bigger. And what happens is the whole heart becomes black. But you see the pious people, what happens with them is as soon as there's a little black mark on their death, they'll clean it. They'll clean that black mark. They'll seek repentance from that. They'll clean that black mark. But what happens with us? Unfortunately, our hearts are like them old cars where we get another dent on it. Okay, it's only another dent. We get another scratch. Okay, it's another scratch. Okay, it's another black mark. Okay, and we don't bother. And we've got to the point now where when we miss our salah, it doesn't affect us. When we don't get up for fajr, it doesn't affect us. When we miss our daily salah, zohr, asr, maghrib, isha, it doesn't affect us. Why? Because our hearts have become so darkened. Yeah, they're like that car. That car that's got so many scratches on it, so many dents on it, the lights are broken, everything. We are like that, our hearts have become like that. But views of Mother Channel, in the same way that an old car that's got scratches, dents, corrosion, engine seized, gearbox not working, lights broken, electrics, all in thing, that car can be restored. Yeah? You see these people restoring old cars, and they restore them to showroom condition. Our hearts can also be restored. We can also restore our hearts. We can also purify our hearts. So never think to yourself, look, I'm so far gone. My heart is so darkened. It's got so many sins. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm so bad now. Never think to yourself that I've gone so far. If your sins are equal to the mountains, equal to the skies, then you can still repent. You should never say to yourself that, you know what, I'm so far gone. What's the point now? No. There's always the opportunity to repent. And what we need to do is we need to sincerely repent, viewers of the channel. Sincerely repent from our sins. Sayyid Muhammad Nimuddin Barabadi, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, stated that to repent from your sins, you need to have three conditions. It's not simply enough to say, Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, I've committed a sin. Ya Allah, I've missed my namaz, forgive me. Ameen. Not as simple as that, viewers of the channel. Three conditions. Number one, we need to admit that we've committed that sin. Admit to ourselves. Be honest with ourselves that we have committed that sin. Number two, feel shame, feel embarrassed. You know, you missed the Fajr Salah this morning. Number one, you need to admit it. Number two, you need to feel shame that you missed that Salah. And number three, you need to have a firm intention to never make that same sin again. That, Ya Allah, I didn't get up for Fajr this morning. And you're ashamed about it. But Ya Allah, inshaAllah azawajal, inshaAllah that will never happen again. I will never miss my Fajr again. I will be up for Fajr every day. I'll set an alarm, I'll set three alarms. I will never miss my Fajr again. Then inshaAllah azawajal, your repentance will be accepted. But there's one more thing. When it comes to your Salah, then it's not enough to say, Ya Allah, forgive me. No. You have to make up for that missed Salah. You have to make up for that missed salah. In the same way, for example, you owe me money, yeah? And you said to me that I'm going to give you that money at 10 o'clock, or I'm going to give it you on Friday. And at Friday, you don't give it to me. And you say, oh, I'm sorry, brother, I'm sorry. I'm saying, okay, you're sorry, but you still owe me the money. Okay, when are you going to give me the money then? All right, you missed the deadline. You're supposed to give me on Friday. Are you going to give me on Saturday? I still want the money. I'm not going to say, okay, forget it. No. I still want the money. In the same way that we are responsible to read our salah five times a day, if you missed your salah, you need to make up for your salah. So this is one of the things. One of the things that can cause a bad end. Secondly, another one of these things, as we were talking about that book, Sharh Sudur. Number two, consuming alcohol. Now, my husnizan is that the majority, if not all of the people that are watching this program, do not consume alcohol. However, sometimes I feel that as Muslims, especially those people that are watching this program, those people that are associated themselves to the Madani environment of Dawat Islami, they are living in a bubble. That inside this bubble you think, oh, well, this is happening. But this isn't happening. No.
It's because you're in that environment. Because you're in a protected environment where you are not seeing people consuming alcohol, because you're in a protected environment where you're not seeing people taking drugs, because you're in a protected environment where you're not seeing people committing adultery, you almost think to yourself, it's not happening. But it is happening. Muslims are consuming alcohol. Muslims are selling alcohol. Muslims are buying alcohol. Muslims are partaking in this disease. The mother of sins, this disease of society, Muslims are part of it now. Muslims are taking alcohol, Muslims are consuming alcohol. And if we think it's not happening, then we are wrong. Yes, alhamdulillah, we are not taking alcohol. Yes, alhamdulillah, none of our houses has alcohol. Yes, alhamdulillah, we've never bought alcohol, we've never sold alcohol, but it is happening. So this is another disease in our society we are seeing that our Muslims are taking part in, and we are told that this can be the cause of a bad end. It's a chance, it's a cause where you could lose your iman. Thirdly, it is also mentioned in Sharh Sudur, disobedience to parents. Allahu Akbar. Being disobedient to your parents can cause you to lose your iman. Allahu Akbar. You know, like I said, that, you know, my husnizan, my good opinion is that nobody watching this program or nobody associated with the environment of Dawah Islami consumes alcohol. But when it comes to being disobedient to parents, this is where we need to be honest with ourselves. You know, how many of us have been disobedient to our parents? How many of us have upset our parents? You know, and disobedience doesn't mean to openly, blatantly being disobedient to, it could be at any level. And you know, when you listen to the hadith, when you even listen to the ayahs of the Quran, it tells you about the importance of your parents, about respecting your parents. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are many, many hadiths about the status of the mother. There are many, many hadiths about the status of the father. There are many, many hadiths about those people that are successful by looking after their parents. You know, there's one where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned to the person. That person may he have his, I think the example that they give is that that person may have his nose rubbed in the dirt because it's a sign of shame, it's a sign of disgust. That warn to him whose parents reach an old age, but that person does not attain paradise. When your parents get to an old age, effectively, they are your opportunity to gain paradise. How? By attaining their blessings, by attaining the du'as, by being obedient to them, by respecting them, by looking after them, by caring for them. And so many people today, they're not disobedient to the friends. Yeah, they listen to the friends. They listen to the spouses. They listen to the children. They don't listen to the parents. They're disobedient to the parents. And a lot of us, what happens is because we're probably second or third generation here in the West, we've got families that came back from Pakistan or from India, from wherever it is around the world, and we think to ourselves, oh, you know what, they came from a village, what do they know? Yeah, they don't know what our problems are, so we don't listen to them. You know, someone beautifully said to me, in one of our Madani's, he comes on Madani channel, he said that your parents may not know as much as you, but your parents have seen more than you. So never negate the opinion of your parents. Listen to what your parents have to say and do not disrespect your parents. You know, when it comes to the dunya, when it comes to your friends, your colleagues, your workplaces, you may say to them, you know what, you need to earn my respect. Yeah. Or you might not even say, but in your mind, you think to yourself, you know what, I'm not going to respect this person because he doesn't respect me. Yeah. I am. What's so special about him? Why should I respect him? I don't have to respect him. When it comes to your parents, there's no conditions. There's no condition 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No, there's nothing like that. You must respect your parents. No questions asked. Worship Allah, and we know how important it is to worship anybody else other than Allah. What a great sin it is. We know that. We all know that. Worship Allah and respect your parents. Worship Allah and be dutiful to your parents. Worship Allah and look after your parents. So we need to be very, very careful about that. About respecting your parents. Number four, going back to the book I mentioned at the beginning, Sharh Sudur, causing harm to Muslims. Allah. Again, we cause harm to our fellow Muslim brothers and we don't even think twice about it. because we think we've got away with it. Yeah. We got away with it. Why? Because I'm cleverer than him. Why? Because I'm more powerful than him. Why? Because I know what he does not know. And so we've got away with it. We don't care whether we've harmed him or hurt him or financially caused problems. Why? Because we got away with it. Yeah? Because you're above the law. The law can't touch you. You've done something in such a way that nobody can do anything to you. Or so you think. You may think nobody can do anything to you. You may think that the law cannot do anything to you. You may think that there's no authority in this world that can do anything to you. But Allah Azza wa Jalla on the Day of Judgment, that authority on the Day of Judgment, you will be questioned about all the harm that you caused to every single Muslim around the world. You're not going to get away with it on that day, brother. Sorry, not going to happen. And on that day, no matter how much you think you've got the gift of the gab, no matter how think you clever you are, that you can speak, talk your way out of things, you will not be able to talk your way out of that. On that day, there'll be no excuses. On that day, you will not be able to find a reason to explain why you abused a fellow Muslim, why you hurt a fellow Muslim, why you caused harm to a fellow Muslims. And this causing harm to Muslims is such a huge subject. Because if you were to define harm, it could be anything. It can be anything from throwing rubbish into someone's garden. It can be anything to blocking someone's driveway. It can be anything to, you know, kids knocking on people's doors and running away. It can be any level. Be it affecting the business, be it affecting the family, be it gossiping, backbiting, swearing, lying, cheating. All of these things that can cause a harm to a Muslim come under this category. And so, under this category, if we just look at that one category, and as a result of that, we run the risk of losing our iman. Oof, how serious is that? Have you ever thought about it? And I want you to ponder, viewers of Mother Channel. I want you to think to yourself. Because without a doubt, we will have caused harm to our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters. And so again, when we mentioned repentance, there's one thing repenting in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But if I have hurt your feelings personally, if I have done something to harm you personally, then it's okay. It's one thing repenting in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But then I also need to come to you and seek your forgiveness and say, brother, you know, on that day I was joking in front of you. The brother, on that day I swore at you. On that day, brother, I hurt you. On that day, brother, I was angry with you. On that day, Allah forbid, I lifted my hand against you. Brother, please forgive me. And at that moment, you should not be thinking to yourself that, look, this person's younger than me. Why should I need to seek his forgiveness? You should not be thinking to yourself, you know what, this person, what is his status? You know, I'm a lawyer, I'm a barrister, I'm a doctor, I'm a teacher, I'm this. This person, he's a laborer. So? It doesn't say here, causing harm to Muslims of equal status or you on higher status. You know, it says causing harm to Muslims, full stop. So no matter who they are, if you caused harm to a Muslim, he could be the lowest of the low, the highest of the low. In the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you have caused harm to a Muslim. Full stop. So you need to be aware of that, viewers of the channel. And you need to ponder over that. You need to think over that. And not only do we need to rectify our past, we need to repent from the sins that we have committed. We need to go to these people and seek forgiveness. But at the same time, we need to make a firm intention. A firm intention that, Ya Allah, protect me. Protect me from causing harm to Muslims. But then it goes the next step further. How do we know those things that can cause a harm to a Muslim? Because we are not aware of all of these diseases of the society, the diseases of the heart. We're not aware of them. Because you may think to yourself, well, you know what? I was talking about this brother behind his back. He didn't hear about it. Right? So what's wrong with that? That's backbiting. That's backbiting. And what can also happen, well, not only is backbiting a sin, but at the same time, maybe in the future, maybe in one day, in 1 week, in 1 year, in 5 years, that could come out. You know, you could commit a sin and you may think, oh, nobody knows about it. Yeah? But it can come out. And nowadays, in the age of social media, people can highlight your mistakes. And when that mistake is highlighted and that person that you hurt becomes aware of that, you've hurt his feelings. So just things you think, oh, well, you know, he doesn't know about it. Yeah, nobody's told him. It's okay. You know, we can't. We've got this, again, we've got this mindset, views of Munchan, that we brush our sins under the carpet, we brush our mistakes under the carpet, and we forget about them. You cannot forget about them. That carpet is going to get lifted one day. All of your actions, every single one of them, every single one of them, from the moment you were born to the moment you died, is all recorded. And you can't deny it. You cannot, you know, people nowadays, they say that, you know, when there's a video or a picture, and they say, oh, you know, this picture was doctored, it was photoshopped, it was changed, it was this. That's all well and good here. On the day of judgment, when your book of deeds are presented in front of you, you can't say, oh, this was doctored, this was photoshopped, this was changed. It doesn't happen. It can't happen. Them deeds are recorded. Verbatim, exact, every single word that you said, every single action that you did, everything is recorded. You will not be able to run away on that day, viewers of Money Channel. Them things are there in front of you. So you need to think to yourself, you need to ponder yourself that I am in this dunya for a fixed amount of time. What am I going to do? And so these four things, I'm going to mention these four things again very, very quickly before we go to the break, inshallah. These four things again. Laziness in offering salah. Consuming alcohol. Disobedient to our parents and causing harm to Muslims. These are four things. Laziness in offering our salah. Consuming alcohol. Disobedient to parents and causing harm to Muslims. Now this is according to just one book. And inshallah, after the break, we're going to go on to other causes that can cause us to lose our iman as well. But these four, if we just ponder on these four today and make a firm intention that these four illnesses of the soul, illnesses of the diseases of the heart, we are going to protect ourselves from them. We're going to get ourselves vaccinated against them. And we'll talk about the vaccination afterwards. We've got some beautiful vaccinations for you. Vaccinations for them, protect ourselves, then inshallah azza wa jal, we pray to Allah azza wa jal that we die with our iman. We're going to go to a break now. I believe it's a reminder of the day, the daily reminder. Like I said, it's been a long time since I've come on this program, so I might be making mistakes. Please forgive me. I don't know what time these segments are supposed to start, so wherever I feel like going, we'll go to these segments, and inshallah, we'll take it from there. Let's go to the daily reminder. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
There's a beautiful hadith I would like to share with you, which is mentioned in Shamail Tirmizi. Hazrat Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa Tayyiba Tahira radiyallahu ta'ala anha reports that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would intentionally fast on Mondays and Thursdays. Alhamdulillah, it would be easy for us to fast on Mondays and Thursdays following the sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. We will have benefits of the hereafter for sure, but inshallah, benefits of this world also. Respected viewers, as far as health benefits are concerned of fasting, according to one research which is very famous in this day and age, that is known as intermittent fasting. And an approach of a 5:2 ratio of intermittent fasting explains that one has to eat 5 days and fast for 2 days, Mondays and Thursdays. Allahu Akbar. The sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, which was mentioned 1400 years ago, even today's research is proving that has its own health benefits and helps to reduce weight. We can definitely follow the sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam for the benefits of the hereafter, but inshallah we will also gain the benefits of this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to fast in other than Ramadan, also following the sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Viewers of the channel, we're talking today about causes of a bad end. And when we use the phrase bad end, what do we mean by a bad end? A bad end meaning that when we leave this dunya, we leave this dunya without our iman, and that is classed as a bad end. That's the worst end. You know, you may have a bad end to a project, you may have a bad end to a day, you might have a bad end to a week, you might have a bad end to the year, but the bad end that we are talking about is our life. And a bad end to a life is not how you die, in the sense physically, whether you die from this illness or from this illness. A bad end is when you die without your iman. And before the break, we mentioned four possible causes that can cause you to lose your iman at that critical time. It is also narrated by Zumali Channel in the book Minaj al-Abidin that Sayyidina Fuzail bin Ayyad radiallahu ta'ala once visited one of his students who was on his deathbed. He sat next to his students who was dying and he said to him, he started reciting Surah Yasin. And his student said to him, stop reciting Surah Yasin. Now Sayyidina Fuzail bin Ayyad rahmatullah ta'ala started reciting the kalma and wanted him to recite the kalma as well. But his student who was on his deathbed, he said, I will never recite this kalma. I have nothing to do with this. Saying these words, he died. Now the teacher, he became very sad that obviously this student of his, he died in this state. He was really, really concerned. And he wept many, many days. And after 40 days, he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw his student being dragged to the hellfire. And he said to his student, that you're one of my best students. Why have you been deprived of mystical knowledge? You had a very high status amongst my students. Why did this happen to you? What caused you to be in this state where you were one of my best students? And the student replied in his dream, it was because of three habits. Because of these three habits, I lost my iman at that critical time. Listen to this views of Mother Chan. Telling tales. He said, I used to tell one thing to my friends, but I used to say something else to you. The second is jealousy. I was jealous of my friends. And the third is alcohol. And listen to this. He said that on the advice of a doctor, I used to drink a glass of alcohol every year to be cured from a disease. Not every day, not every week, not 5 pints a day, one glass of alcohol a year, because his doctor had advised him that this illness, you need to drink this. And because of these three actions, he lost his iman. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Telling tales, viewers of Money Channel. Telling tales, we are told here, is one of those things that can cause you to lose iman. And telling tales, unfortunately, has become so common that people are even unaware of the evil deeds that they're committing. It's got to such extent where people are telling tales and they don't even realize, because people sit with people, you're sitting with your friends, and you know, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to talk about? What should we talk about? What should we talk about? And because you've got nothing to talk about, you think, you know what, I'll talk about him. I'll talk about him. I'll talk about that person. I'll talk about that person. And we'll start telling tales. Because we want to be part of the conversation. You know, human nature is such that we want to be part of a group. But the problem is with this human nature is if you want to fulfill that need of being part of the group, and as a result of that you're committing a sin, then you've not achieved anything. It is better to remain silent than to speak when committing a sin. And the definition of telling tales has been narrated from Imam Nawawi. He says that to convey what a person has said to another person with the intention of causing harm is called telling tales. Caused telling tales. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that those who backbite, taunt others, tell tales and find fault with innocent people, astaghfirullah, they will be resurrected on the day of judgment by Allah azza wa jal in the form of dogs. Telling tales, backbiting, taunting others, finding fault with innocent people. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm not saying. It's not the brother on the TV program that's saying this. Remember this. I'm not saying this. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah azza wa jalla will raise that person who tells tales, who taunts people, who causes harm to and finds fault with innocent people. Allah azza wa jalla will raise that person in the form of dogs on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. You know, nowadays it happens that we tell tales and we don't even realize it. You know, I think what you need to do, viewers of the channel, is try and sit in a gathering and remain silent and see where the conversations are going. And if at some point you feel that you're being dragged in, that you're in a purpose now, that you could be starting to tell tales, you could start be backbiting, you could start speaking the same language as them. Because what happens is you may be a person that doesn't swear. For example, I'm just giving the example of swearing. You may be a person that doesn't swear, but now you're sitting with people and they're all swearing. In every sentence, they're swearing. Yeah, you become part of that conversation. What happens is that because you become part of that conversation and everybody around you with every sentence is swearing, you start swearing as well. They start saying, oh, and effing this and effing that and effing that. And what happens is you don't normally swear, but now you want to be part of the crowd. So instead of speaking properly, you start effing and blinding as well. You start swearing like them as well. Allahu Akbar. We're also told, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who engages in tale-telling, he will not enter heaven. Full stop, end of. If you are telling tales, you will not enter heaven. You will not enter paradise. And as a Muslim, what we need to realize is that as Muslims, our purpose, our goal in being in this dunya is to please Allah azza wa jalla. If a result of pleasing Allah azza wa jalla, inshallah azza wa jal will attain paradise. But is that our goal? Is that our true goal? I mentioned it before, you know, nowadays people talk about bucket lists. What's a bucket list? A bucket list is where people make a list of things that they want to achieve in this world. That I want to own my own house. I want to get married before I'm 25. I want to have a successful business. I want to visit this place, I want to visit this place, I want to visit this place, I want to have a sports car, I want to have a yacht, I want to have this, I want to, and we have, make a list of all of these things. And we start, the top of the list is the most important, and then we'll go down it. And it's not necessary that whatever is at the top of the list we achieve first, but this bucket list is made and we start ticking them off. And we may have 50 items on our bucket list that we want to achieve in this dunya. But be honest with yourselves, viewers of the channel. If I was to ask you to make a bucket list, now maybe because you're watching this program, you think otherwise. But if I was to ask you to make a bucket list, were on that list, or would it even be on that list to please my Rabb? Would it be on that list? Would it be on that list that the month of Ramadan is coming and I want to make sure that during the month of Ramadan, I read every Taraweeh? Where on that bucket list is that the month of Ramadan is coming in a few months' time and I want to make sure that I set myself a target of reading 3 Quranic Parks, 5 Quranic Parks, 10 Quranic Parks during the month of Ramadan? Is it on that list? Is it on your bucket list that I want to perform a Hajj as soon as possible? You may want to go to certain cities around the world, that's be on your list, but where on your list is performing the Hajj that could be further upon you? So as Muslims, again, we need to change our mindsets. I've said it many times before, I may look like a Muslim. I may have the Imam Sharif, I might have the beard, I might eat halal. But do I think like a Muslim? So we need to change our mindset. And only when we change our mindset and make that bucket list have to please my Rabb at the top of the list, when we have that at the top of our list, then we'll try and aim for that. You know, if at the top of your list is to get a 3-bedroom semi-detached house, then you say, you know what, to be able to get that house, I'm going to have to work overtime, I'm going to have to do this, I'm going to have to save up this money to be able to get a deposit, to be able to make this payment, to be able to do this, and you plan it. It's not just there on your bucket list, it has detail behind it. You know, you want that detached house, you know that I've got to get a 10% deposit, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, and all these things I need to do. So in the same way where it says, please my Rabb, to attain the pleasure of my Rabb, behind that there is so much detail. Number one, is it on our list? Number two, if it is on our list, do we know the detail behind that list? Number three, are we acting upon that list of things that we need to do to achieve that goal on that bucket list? And this is where we need to be honest with ourselves. It's not as if I'm going to come along and examine you and say, well, no, I'm sorry, brother, but you're not doing very well on this. Yeah? This is where you need to take your own heart into your own personal laboratory. You know, when you go to the laboratory, you go to the doctors and the doctor will take some blood. Yeah, he takes the blood and he'll give you a report the next day or maybe a week later and he'll say cholesterol this, sugar level this, white blood cells this, red blood cells this, blood count this. And you'll see the results. And as a result, you see the result, okay, my cholesterol's a little bit high, so maybe I need to do something about this. Actually, my sugar's okay, but okay, I need to do something about this. So you act according to that report. I want you to do your own personal report. Look at your heart. Look at your nafs. Look at yourself as a Muslim. Am I fulfilling my duties? Is my namaz right? Is my reading the Quran? Am I fasting? Do I pay the zakat? Is hajj farz upon me? Is this? Am I staying away from backbiting? And analyze yourself. And when you're honest with yourself, this is where you need to be honest with yourself. And you realize that, you know what? I'm weak in my namaz. You know what? You know what? I do backbite. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I do swear occasionally. You know what? I'm not very obedient to my parents. When you see that report in front of you, then you can do something about it. But you need to be honest with yourselves. And when you're honest with yourselves and realize that these are the things that are happening, then you can make a change. But the other problem is you don't know what else needs to be on that list. You know, as when you go to a doctor, the doctor says to you, these are the things you need to check. He will say to you, check your cholesterol levels, check your sugar level, check your red blood cells. We don't know what to check. Why? Because we're not aware of the diseases of the soul. And this is where, when I mentioned earlier on, you know, the vaccination is becoming attached to the environment of Dawat Islami, where you will improve your knowledge. You'll associate with those people who are trying the utmost best to purify their soul. You will associate with those people who are aware of the diseases of the soul. You'll be aware of those, you'll be associated with those people who will give you remedies, inshallah, to cure yourself from the diseases of the soul. But unless you are in that environment, you won't even know what the diseases are. And so we need to become aware of those things, especially those things that can cause us to lose a bad end. Because if we lose our iman, the greatest gift that we have got. You know, I came here to Bradford this morning, and when I got out of my car, the very first thing that I did was I pressed a button. And what does that button do? It locked my car. I then went into the offices here. We went into the office and I did a little bit of work. And then as I left the office, the first thing I did was I locked it. I locked my office. I locked my car. My wallet is in my pocket, safe and secure. My phone is in front of me. I've not left it lying around. Why? Because I'm protecting it. I'm protecting it. I protected my car. I protected my office. All of these things I'm protecting. What am I doing to protect my iman? Anything? We're not doing anything. We need to be protecting our iman because that is the most valuable gift that you have got. The problem is we don't realize. We don't realize how lucky we are. We don't realize how valuable that gift of iman is. And you know, if you as a mother child, what you need to do, one of the things, there are many things you can do. One of the things that you need to do is read the lives of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sacrifices that they made for what? The iman. That is, what sacrifices are you making? What sacrifices have we made to become a Muslim? How many of us that are watching this program right now have made any sacrifices to actually accept the faith of Islam? Possibly 90% of the people that are watching this program now were born Muslims. What sacrifices did we make in accepting Islam? And because we didn't make them sacrifices, we're not valuing our iman. You know, there's a story I want to share with you. I may have shared with you on Mother Channel before. I think I have, but I'll share with you again. A new Muslim. Now, when I say a new Muslim, a person that reverted back to Islam, he was brought up under another faith. And when he got older, when he had a better age of understanding, he realized that Islam was haq. He read the Shahada and became a Muslim. There's a person I knew, didn't know him that well. Maybe in his 30s, I think. He'd accepted Islam, been a Muslim for 6-8 months. And even then, this was pre-pandemic times, he used to work from home. So he didn't really associate with a lot of people, you know. He knew a few people, knew a few Muslims and everything. He didn't know so many people. One day he approached me and he said, I want to ask you a question. Right? But the answer to the question is no. And I thought, what kind of question is this that you're going to ask me a question and you've also given me the answer in advance? And he said, no, I'm just checking. I just want to make sure that this is the correct answer. I'm pretty sure that it is. I'm literally 100% sure that this is, but I just want to be sure. Okay, fair enough. I said, I'll try my best. Maybe I can answer it, maybe I can't. Okay. The question. And I want you to listen to this question. And I want you to answer this question for me, because I couldn't answer this question. And you'll understand why. He said to me, is it true that there are Muslims who don't pray the Salah? You know what? When he answered that question, I thought it was going to be a hard question, but I didn't think it'd be that hard. And I paused. And I looked down. And as soon as I looked down, he realized that there's some truth in it. And he said, brother, what are you saying? I'm not saying anything. What are you saying? And I just remained quiet. He said, I'm sorry, I don't believe it. And he was very emotional. I don't believe it. He said, I don't believe that there are Muslims out there that don't pray. How is this possible? I'd like you to send me in the answer that I should have given him. That how is it possible that as Muslims we're not praying? And I think one of the reasons we don't is we don't value our iman. We don't realize how fortunate we are. And for this, we need to read about the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and read the seed of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we'll see the sacrifices that they made for their iman, the lives they lived and how they made these sacrifices. And then maybe we'll understand how fortunate we are that we have this valuable gift. I want to say valuable, the most valuable gift that you can ever have. You can have all the wealth of this world in one hand and you can have your iman in another hand, and this is more valuable. If only we understand. And that is the problem. We don't understand the value of our iman. We understand the value of £200, £500. We understand the value of a few ounces of gold. We understand the value of a bar of gold. We understand the value of a diamond. We understand the value of land. We understand the value of property. We don't understand the value of our iman. And we need to realize that this iman that you have is more valuable than anything you could have. And if you understand the value of something, you protect it. When people have valuable diamonds, they get safes in banks. They'll pay rent to hire a safe. They'll get safes in the houses. Yeah, they'll bury safes underground to protect their wealth. Why? Because they understand the value of it. If you give a child a brick of gold, he won't understand the value of that gold, because to him it's just a brick. He might just think it's Lego bricks and he'll play with it and make a house out of it, because he doesn't understand the value of that gold. And because he doesn't understand the value of that gold, then bricks will be lying around in the same way that a kid's toys are lying around all the house, and he'll take them and he'll drop them outside and he'll leave them in the car and he'll leave them everywhere. Why? Because he does not understand the value that is gold. Only when you understand the value of that gold do you protect it. In the same way, we don't understand the value of our iman, and because we don't understand the value of our iman, we're like that kid with the Lego bricks, and they're falling around, and we're leaving them in the car, we're leaving them here, and we're losing our iman. This is where we need to understand the value of our iman and protect our iman. For the channel, we're going to take a small break, and I believe that it's the daily hadith, the hadith of the day. Let's go to the daily hadith. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. Every one of us desires to be close to our Lord, Allah Azza wa Jal. One beautiful method that we must adopt in order to attain this proximity, closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal, is to offer our salah. Because we are told that this is that thing which defines a believer. This is what distinguishes a believer and a non-believer. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed salah throughout his life. Whenever he faced any concern or worry, he would turn towards salah. And in the Quran we're told as well, Ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Seek help through patience and prayer. But the prayer has so many other benefits as well. We are human beings and we sin frequently. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us and grant us tawfiq to repent often. In one hadith we're told that when you offer salah, your sins are forgiven. This hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, and it's found in both Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked the companions, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ أَنَّ نَهْرًا بِبَابِ أَحَدِكُمْ يَخْتَسِلُ فِيهِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ خَمْسًا. If there was a stream or a river at the door of your house, and you performed ghusl in that river, that water, 5 times a day, هَلْ يَبْقَى مِنْ دَرَنِهِ شَيْءٌ. Would there be any dirt left on your body? The Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in replied, لَا يَبْقَى مِنْ دَرَنِهِ شَيْءٌ. No, no such filth, no such dirt will be left, because he's constantly bathing in it 5 times a day. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَذَلِكَ مَثَلُ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ. That is the example of the 5 prayers. Meaning the 5 prayers are exactly like that. The 5 daily prayers are exactly like that. يَمْحُ اللَّهُ بِهِنَّ الْخَطَايَا. By means of the 5 daily prayers, a person's sins are wiped out. Those 5 daily prayers, Allah Ta'ala, by means of you offering them, will wipe out your sins. So this is the benefit of offering salah. Your sins are forgiven. And we are in need of offering our 5 daily salah to obtain such blessings. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who are steadfast and consistent in offering salah.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, beautiful hadith there by Hafiz Kaleem Madri, who's mashallah one of our graduates from here in Jamaatul Madina here in the UK. MashaAllah, he graduated here from our Jamaatul Madina here in the UK. Here in the UK, alhamdulillah, we have Jamaatul Madinas across the UK for brothers and sisters, full-time and part-time. Wherever you are in the UK, you can obviously avail these facilities. I think for the brothers, it's a 6-year course. For the sisters, it's a 5-year course. And alhamdulillah, Dawat Islam is taking it upon themselves here in the UK to produce the English-speaking scholars of the future. And inshallah, mashallah, Hafiz Kaleem Madani is one of them as well. Right, viewers on the channel, we were talking about causes of a bad end. But before we go and summarize today's program, we've not really covered as much as I wanted to, unfortunately. We've got a little promo for you. We've got a little promo for you that I want you to watch, inshallah. And then, inshallah, we'll talk about this promo after that. Let's go to the promo of the day. Sallu alil Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The Holy Prophet, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has stated in a blessed hadith that each person will be under the shade of his sadaqah on the day of judgment. Understand this point, my dear viewers, that on the day of judgment, when the sun is only 1.25 miles away, the floor is made of copper, and each person will be drowning in his own sweat. SubhanAllah, that it is our sadaqah, the amount of money that we give in charity, this will protect us on the day of judgment. So we should be giving wholeheartedly in the way of Allah. Generally, when we give money out or when we spend money, our money decreases. But SubhanAllah, giving money in the way of Allah, this doesn't decrease your wealth. Rather, this increases your money. This is mentioned in the Holy Quran as well. So we should wholeheartedly give in the way of Allah. The month of Ramadan is coming. And throughout the year as well, we should give our zakat, especially first to our family members, but then we should also consider giving it to Dawat Islami. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is an open book in front of you. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is carrying out many activities. Madrasatul Madina, Madrasatul Madina Balighan, and Jamiatul Madina, and live Madin channel sessions also take place. So Dawat Islami is carrying out the work of Deen. SubhanAllah, FGRF, those people who need welfare, those people who need help, Dawat Islami is also helping them. And this will be done by your donations and also by your zakat as well. So please, wholeheartedly keep Dawat Islami in your mind and give wholeheartedly as well. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Dawat Islami UK Madani Channel. Sort code 309773. Account number 436345 60. IBAN GB67LOYD 309773436345 60. BIC LOYD GB21087.
Your donations can be utilized in any permissible, religious, reformative, welfare, spiritual, benevolent, charitable, and income-generating lawful and secure work so that the increasing expenses can be met.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're coming towards the end of the program today. We've only got a few moments left. Today we've been talking about the causes of a bad end, and we only covered a few things, but there are many, many things that I need you, that we need to be aware of, that can cause us to lose our iman. And I would make one request at the end of this program. On the website, www.dawatislami.net, if you go to that website, on that website there is a section where it goes, I think it's books, yeah, literature or books, something like that. Go on that, and if you select the English books, there is a booklet called Causes of a Bad End. You know what I'm going to try and to do? I'm going to try and be clever here. I'm not normally can do this, but I'll see what I can do. Causes of Bad End, there it is, let's see if I can get this. Yeah, this is the booklet, Causes of Bad End. I think we can see that on the screen. This is a book that I want you to try and download. And in that book, it talks about all of the potential things that could cause you to lose your iman. We only mentioned a few things today. We mentioned jealousy, we mentioned being lazy in our salah, disobedient to parents, but it mentions other things as well. Read your namaz on a daily basis and do those things that can protect your iman. Views of Madani Channel, you've been watching Rise and Shine. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine. And the sun will rise and shine.